Let's read our Bibles, the book of Matthew. We read Matthew and Mark. So we begin with Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Matthew 16 to 20. 28, Matthew 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain. Let me read mine here. I say 15 to 20, NIV. NIV. I read from NIV. Just project the same. It's okay. 28, NIV. 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Let's go to Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 15 to 20. The word of God says, "He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well.' After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it." Let's pray. Lord, you are speaking to us once again this morning. We pray, O Lord, that the Holy Spirit shall be here, O God, and apply this word into our lives, O King of Glory, for the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the extension of the kingdom of God. Jesus, speak to us. Use me as your vessel and as your child, but also give me clarity of speech to your people. Help me to speak only those things that you want me to speak. Help me, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, church. I've entitled the message this morning as "Preach Everywhere to All." Or you can say, "Preach everywhere, preach to all." So we use one verb once. Preach everywhere to all. Preach everywhere to all. Wherever you go, preach. Whoever you meet, preach to them. Preach wherever you go, wherever you are. Preach. Because he says, preach the gospel to all people of all nations. The word translated as nations is also in general English is also defined as ethnic groups. In Greek, it is ethne. Ethnic groups. Every group of people, every kind of people that live on earth should hear the good news. And how do you reach these people? If you just say, it is the church that is going to do this, the leadership must be doing something. Can really this leadership of DPC be everywhere to everybody? But you people, you can be everywhere to everybody. And that's why we tell you people, preach the gospel everywhere to all you meet. These are the words that Jesus gave after his resurrection. And he said, all authority has been given unto me. All authority in heaven and on earth is in my hands. People in authority always have priorities in their leadership. Maybe we define authority. Authority. Authority is that ability or ability to lead others. All of us have authorities. All of us. You have authority over your body. You have authority over your children. You have authority over your, maybe your wife. You have authority over the people you lead somewhere. You say a word and they have to respond. So you are in authority. In leadership, they say authority can be obtained in different ways. There is legitimate authority and illegitimate authority. Regardless of how they got it, they got into those positions of authority. For example, as the people get authority as autocratically, you know, autocracy. Autocratically or in a dictator way or by force, and you are in authority. You know, there are some regimes that are empower by force, by force, they use force. But also democratically, those who are leaders or in authority in democratic societies or communities, they are given authority by the people. The people, the government of the people, for the people, by the people. Now, it is the people who give them the authority, leaders, right? They have their constitutions, which they, together they make, and they say, now, our leader, before they even get that leader, our leader, for somebody to become a leader, will have to go through A, B, C, D, and fulfill A, B, C, D. So when you fulfill that, you are given authority over the people themselves. So you have authority to lead these people, but the authority is given by these people. The same people can take away the authority that you have. So these are democratic states or democratic authorities. But also there are so-called kingships, monarchical leadership. How kings arise, it is, we can say, survival for the fittest as they fight in societies. Some other people become just stronger than the others. And with time, they develop that monarchy kind of leadership. They become leaders. And just like that. But they have authority over people. They have authority over people. But also, there are some people who get authority theocratically. Because God appointed them and gave them authorities, gave them positions. They have the authority as leaders because God made them that way. So people in authority now, we are saying, regardless of how they got that authority, they will always have priorities driving their leadership. These people in authorities will always have priorities. Yesterday I was watching our president speaking. And he was speaking as a man with authority. He says, I give you 1,500 employments for police. See, I give you. He has authority. Praise the Lord. And he again clarified and said, now, if you just employ your relatives, you will receive. I want you to take people from, he mentioned a group. I think those who have served the National Service, Military Service, something like that. He said, it should be from these people. He made it clear. Now, when he speaks like that, he expects those under his authority, those with authorities under his authority, to make sure they keep his word. If they do otherwise, they'll be in trouble. There's a power in authority. Authorities are powerful. When authorities speak, they've spoken. They are in authority. Regardless of how you got the power, the authority, you will have priorities. Now Jesus spoke to the disciples after the resurrection and told them, I have all the authority in heaven and on earth. In announcing his authority, Jesus also announced his priority. You see, he did not just talk about the authority and enjoy the authority. You know, I have authority now in heaven and on earth. But he also announced his priorities. And actually, the main authority, I mean priority, is clearly stated, as we shall see soon. He made it clear that his followers were to preach the gospel to all people everywhere. This is what he communicated to his people. Let me summarize these readings we just read. Lesson number one I want us to base on and to remember is that Jesus announced the extent of his authority. Jesus announced at the first place, he announced the extent of his authority. Yes, he has authority. But to what extent? He made it clear. Our president, his authority is within the limits of Tanzania. He speaks and things have to happen. But he cannot command the people in Kenya. Our president cannot command the people in Sudan. It is the Republic of Tanzania. Trump is just so powerful. He's a global leader. But he cannot just command things for every country. His immediate leadership is to the Americans. It's for the country of America, not for Tanzania. There might be some peripheral results accompanying his leadership and not just direct directives. So Jesus announced the extent of his authority. In Matthew 28, verse 19, he made it clear. What is that extent? He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority. What is he saying? He's saying, so when I speak here on earth, follow. That's what I mean. When I speak, nobody should challenge me. That's what he's saying on earth. When I say this should be done, it has to. Because I have the highest authority on earth. But my authority, Jesus says, is not just limited to this earth, but also in heaven. All authority has been given to me. The Father appointed Jesus to have authority in heaven. So he commands things in heaven to happen. I want to assure you people of God this morning that we are serving a person who has all authority. In a very simple way, we say he is a sovereign, sovereign Lord. The sovereignty is in his hands. The only person with all authority in heaven and on earth is the sovereign God. So Jesus says, I have all the authority in heaven and on earth. And of course, you read Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. The Bible says, after Jesus humbled himself, became a human being, and died the death that he died, and rose again. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 9, chapter 2, verse 9 to 11, that therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, God has exalted him and has given him a name that is above every name that can be mentioned on earth and in heaven. We have got very many names that we adore. The names that we think they're so powerful names. When they're mentioned, everybody cheers. When such people come here, everybody will stand and cheer. So Jesus says, or the word of God tells us this morning, that Jesus has been given a name that is above every name. A name that surpasses all the names that can be mentioned on earth and in heaven. And that at this very name, every knee should bow. And that at this very name, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue. This does not mean that every tongue will be saved, but every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Whether you choose him today or you don't choose him, he is still Lord. And you are going soon to say Jesus is Lord. Because when he comes in his brightness, everybody will shout. Nobody will tell you, shout to the Lord. Nobody will tell you, stand and clap to the Lord. Everybody will stand and clap. Everybody will shout. Everybody will marvel. Because he's so powerful and so great. The declaration of Jesus having all power implied the following. Lordship and sovereignty. Not only lordship and sovereignty, but obedience from subordinates. Obedience from the subordinates. We are his subordinates. We are his subjects. We are his subjects. We ought to obey. We ought to follow what he tells us to do. But also, it implies assurance of providence. Assurance of providence. I like this. Assurance of his provision. that he will provide what do we need most. What we need most of the time is not food, it's security. So he will provide security. Jesus will provide security. Jesus will provide resources that we need. If he has authority in heaven, he will provide. I was listening. Sorry, today I'm using my president as an example. I was listening to his speech. He says, you said about ABCD, I'm giving you such and such amount of money. I said, oh, wow, authority is powerful. And they got the money already. When he says, the accountants know, the king said. The accountants cannot say, we are not going to give out this money, you know. They will give that money because he said. And he mentioned specific amounts. So Jesus, having the authority in heaven and on earth, he is giving us the assurance of providence. He is able to provide security. He is able to provide the resources, all the resources that we need as we obey him. He will command resources to follow us as we do what he commands. Some people who have done great things say it like this. God will never send you where his grace is not sufficient. Some other people say it like this. When God calls, he also provides. So God is not sending you without his providence. God is sending you with the provision. You just obey and the provision will follow. Second thing I want to speak here that each one of us should remember. Jesus announced the focus of his authority. Jesus announced the focus of his authority as the preaching of the gospel. Jesus announced the focus, the priority of his authority. It is the preaching of the gospel. He says, yes, I have authority in heaven and on earth. I'm not just going to sit in heaven and say, yes, I've finished the work. But this is what I want done. This is my mission. He spoke clearly the mission of his authority. In my authority, I want the gospel preached everywhere to everybody. Actually, Mark writes and says every creation. But actually, the translation there is so that you do not leave out any person. If you have a belief like those old beliefs that people were evolving, some other people are still somehow like monkeys. Some other people are more people. If you had such theories, then you are not left with any option. Every creation, every people, the people you like and admire, the people you don't like, the people you dislike, the people, when you hear about these people, you just don't like them. Why? You don't have any reason. Why? My father told me. Why? Our teacher told us. The focus. What is the focus of the church today? What is our focus? What is your focus? Because all of us make up the church. We are parts of the body of Christ. We are those individual parts of the body of Christ. And each part has to be active and functional. Now, what is the focus of you as part of the body of Christ? The focus of your King, the focus of your Lord, is getting the gospel preached to all, everywhere. That's the focus of the authority of your leader, of your great leader. That's his focus. Well, what are you focused on? Ooh-wee. What is your focus? My focus is to get education. When I get my PhD, I tell you I'll be happy. And when you have a PhD, what is it for? I will get money. When you have the money, what is it for? Praise the Lord, church. I'm speaking to you people. Most of you are middle class. You have money, I know. Most of you have money. Now, you know, now that you have money, and those days when you did not have money, is your humanity changed? when you didn't have money, were you feeling human? Were you feeling human just like now? The answer is yes. The process of making money does not end. People make money and make money and make money. I tell you, those rich people, today you go to them, they will tell you they are still making business. And if you asked how much money you have, you'll be shocked. They are still making money until they die. They'll be making money. Even those millionaires, actually those billionaires, those richest guys, they are still now, their aim is to compete with the first billionaire. That's what they are doing. I don't know if you make a follow-up. There is a time the richest guy was so-and-so. You know them. Now, this is not my business here. You know those guys, rich guys. Another time came another guy. He outshined the other one. And you see, people are keeping now fighting who is the richest. Now, if you are the richest, what do you have? People talk about me. And when they talk about what is added on you? More hair? Not even a single hair is added on you. So my brothers, my sisters, the focus of our King Jesus Christ, the focus of his authority, if he is to release his power, he is to release his authority on you, is that you must be focused on preaching the gospel to everybody everywhere. At your workplace, yes, I know, I don't want to bring conflict between you and your employer. At your workplace, you have been given your primary jobs to be done. These are the job descriptions. You should do A, B, C, D every day, every month, every year. Yes. Now, this is what I speak on behalf of the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you have received that prescription, job description, when you have received it, I want you to do like this. You wrap it up. You cover it with the main responsibility for you as a Christian, preaching the gospel everywhere to everybody. So everybody in your company, everybody must hear about Jesus. How? You know how. That's a methodology. You will find a methodology. There's no single method to speak Jesus. There are many methodologies. But the Lord is sending you to those people who will come to your company, those people under you, and those people who interact with you. God is sending them. In fact, all the four gospels, listen to me here. All the four gospels, that is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, the gospel of Matthew, the gospel of Mark, the gospel of Luke, the gospel of John. All recorded this fact, this priority, this focus of Jesus' authority. All of them have recorded. I will quickly mention a scripture on each of these gospels. The gospel of Matthew 28:19, it says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." You see, Matthew has recorded the focus of Jesus' authority, the focus of Jesus after the resurrection. He says, "Therefore, go." To go is not something that we discuss with him and say, "Jesus, you know me, I have a lot of things to do. I have a lot of responsibilities. You know, I'm a housewife. You know me, I'm the senior of this organization, so I have a lot of work to do." No. He says, "Go." I was talking to somebody yesterday. I think that person might be here. And that person is studying, I think, something like medicine or pharmacy or what. I said, what are you doing? I'm studying, a student. I'm in my third year. Oh, so you want to graduate and get a job? Or you want to excel? In Kiswahili, nikasema au nataka kubobea. So before he answered me, I said, you know, God is calling you to excel in that position so that you are needed everywhere and take Jesus everywhere. You will even go to the countries where people don't allow missionaries. You will go there as a computer scientist. You'll go there. They will pay you their money and you'll preach Jesus there. That's what I said. You'll go there as a nurse in those countries where they don't allow you to preach, to go as a missionary. They can't give you a visa as a missionary. But you go there as a nurse and they will pay you their money. But you speak Jesus to those people. And some of you think when you're studying medicine or nursing or business or computer science, you think these are secular. They are not just secular. It is God's method for you to take the gospel. Right now, as we are speaking, we've got some people I know who used to sit here. They are in different continents and changing the world. I know some people. In Mark, we read it again. Mark 16, 15 to 16. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. See? Preach the gospel to all. Don't be silent. Don't be mute. Don't just be silent. Whenever you are, speak Jesus. Tell them. You know, there are some other people you think if you tell them, you offend them. It's a very good offense. If you offend somebody because you are giving them money, it's not bad. Now, what about Jesus? Life eternal. In the Gospel of Luke, this is what he said, 24:46 to 48. I'm just finishing up. Luke 24:46 to 48. He says, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead the third day. And the repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. To all nations. Beginning at Jerusalem, you are the witnesses of these things. And lastly, John 20, 21. The book of John 20, 21. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. That is John 20, 21. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. This is really a very powerful similitude or likeness. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. How did the Father send Jesus? We don't have much time to talk about how God sent his son. He sent his only begotten son to die. Jesus is sending us to die. And some of you think, I know, this is no. Jesus is sending us, whether it means to die. He has already died for us, died for all the people. But there are some places, some of you, if you are to preach Jesus, you must be ready to die. I just recall what Mwalimu Nyerere said. He said, Tanzania is not free. We don't have true freedom until all Africa is free. And I speak this morning, you are enjoying freedom of worship in Tanzania, but a big part of Africa is not enjoying what you enjoy today. How can we say that the Lord is here? The Lord is blessing us. The Lord has filled commanded us with all power. The Lord is just revealing and manifesting himself just here in Tanzania and in Kenya. And we are not going to those places where our brothers and sisters are not allowed to worship freely. And we are just satisfied here. Now, some of you should begin to think of that. Should begin to understand this. And should begin to act. If you get a job in those countries, go. God is sending you as his messenger. Go speak. And you are saying, why me and not Pastor Abed? And why Pastor Abed and not you? You think me, I'm not human like you. You think me, I don't have a wife I should stay with. You think me, I don't have children I should take care of. Me too is like you. But he is sending us, go. So train as a computer scientist and go there. They will give you a visa as a computer scientist. Go there and do business. Some people will trust you as you do business and you are trusted. And when they say, we wonder, you are very faithful. You tell them, because Jesus made me faithful. Oh, who is Jesus? You tell them who Jesus is. The last or the third lesson is the disciples of Jesus obeyed the command to preach the gospel. This is last. And I said like this. Yeah, the disciples of Jesus obeyed the command to preach the gospel. So they obeyed the authority. If we read Mark 16:20, let us read it together and we see how they obeyed. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. I like the everywhere. You see the everywhere. Can you see the everywhere? Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. So go. God will work with you. Speak and God will work with you. And the signs and wonders shall follow. And you think God has a few people to perform signs and wonders. It is you. Start. And the signs and wonders shall follow. We don't have much time to testify all the signs and wonders we've seen God do as we go. Most of you want signs and wonders here. Here they are enough. That's why everybody is here. Signs for what? Signs are for non-believers. That's what the Bible says. Go speak. When they're still wondering, signs will happen. I am sure with what I'm talking about. Go, tell them, speak and pray for them. Tell them Jesus saves. God will work with you, confirming his word. It is not your word. It is his word. We have the gospel today. Because the disciples went out and preached. So they went, they preached. The gospel is with us. We don't go and preach. The gospel is not with those people. So we go, they hear. We don't go, they don't hear. History shocks us so much. Africa, if you take Africa, especially Central and Southern Africa, for like 1,000 years and 400, nobody had heard about Jesus. You hear me? History tells us. 1,400 years. Our grandfathers were just dying without Jesus. Although in North Africa, up there in North, in Egypt, in Algeria, Jesus was preached. There was a theological school, big one, those early, early years, second century. Third, fourth. But down in Africa, in Central Africa, Nobody in Central, Southern, East Africa, our parents were just dying without it. And today, we don't want to learn from history. I was just discussing with my daughter who is in Form 1. What is history? She defined it very well. And what are the advantages of history? She told me, history tells us, helps us to know what happened in the past. It also helps us to know what is happening now. But it can also help us predict what will happen tomorrow. I said, oh yeah. So you can predict what is going to happen right now, depending on how Christianity is moving, depending on what you are doing today. You can assess yourselves as individuals and as church. Local church like a DPC and a church like a church in Tanzania. You can always assess yourselves and see if really what the Lord told us is happening. As I conclude, I say we must preach. Can singers come? And we shall sing just one song as we walk out. I conclude by saying we must preach everywhere to all as part of our obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of all. We must preach everywhere to all as part of our obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of all. Because he says, all authority in heaven and on earth is in my hands. So I tell you, go and preach. Go everywhere and preach to all.